We're just a couple of days away from the big one, the match we've all been waiting for. One that should see a win bring this lift the spirits of everyone far and wide. Football's coming home. That's right, Sheffield United versus Huddersfield Town, and we're all really looking forward to this one. As the Championship returns to Bramall Lane this weekend, this is the Star Blades podcast, and we are back. Danny, proper football's back.
The only show in town this week
is at Bramall Lane. That's the one we're all waiting for. Right, so what's been happening? I mean, we've been away for a couple of weeks. Obviously, the written content hasn't dwindled during that time. We've been cracking on as normal, albeit Element and Jive focused, given that's the only thing that's been going on. Let's give us a bit of insight into what the team, those who have, which is the majority, apart from those who have been among the walking wounded, what has everybody been doing during this time? I think they had a week off or so after it finished, didn't they? And then it was back to work.
Yeah, it's felt at times a little bit like the Illiman and Jai star, hasn't it, for us? Like you said, the only show in town, really. In terms of the players who stayed behind, a bit of R&R, I think it's fair to say, for the first week or so. You know, the players were told, or not told, but they were strongly encouraged, I think, to spend some time away from football to mentally recharge as much as physically. Because, as we all know, you know, just from covering it, it's such a mentally demanding, challenging championship, isn't it? So I can't imagine what it's like to play in, you know, every 3 or 4 days at its peak. It was such a, you know, relentless schedule, you know, trying to stay at the top of the table as well. So the players for the first week or so were encouraged to get away. I think it's fair to say, not even think about football, just, you know, spend some time with the families, put the feet up, maybe get some sun on the backs. I know a few lads went to Dubai, you know, the usual sort of footballers' haunts. Ollie McBurney, the kind of anti-football in many ways, I think went to Dublin, which was a good choice from him. He was originally going to go away, I think, but his sort of hernia situation complicated that a little bit, so he stayed a little bit closer to home. A couple of lads, Billy, Ollie Norwood, went to Dubai, I think, from what we can gather. Wes Fodringham, Jaden Bogle went there as well. It's not been nice for them to get a bit of sun on the backs and a bit of a rest away from, you know, the usual. And then it was back to the grind, really. Back to Shirecliffe for not a pre-season. A few people have been saying that, like a mini pre-season. Paul Heckingbottom said to us before the break that it was not going to be like that. It's not like the old days where you go away for, you know, 6 weeks at a time or whatever and don't think about football. They all sort of had their own individual training plans while they were away for that week. So they all had done a little bit of, you know, basic, you'd imagine, fitness work to kind of keep that core level. And then when they came back to the new training pitch, of course, which I'm sure we'll touch on, £2 million worth, the biggest signing this winter, you'd imagine, for Sheffield United. It was back on there, sort of getting some, you know, stretching the legs a little bit and getting some more ball work into the legs. They had a behind closed doors game against Rotherham last weekend to get a little bit more, you know, that sort of match situation back into the players, a few more players back as well. We've seen Vanderberger, Jaden Bogle, Max Lowe back on the grass, as Paul likes to say. So we've seen those. I imagine they'll have all got a few minutes in that Rotherham game. There's another one planned for next weekend as well, with the free weekend, of course, with Wigan game mid on Monday. And then it's all been geared up towards Saturday's game, obviously, you know, kind of business as usual, I would imagine, at Shirecliffe ahead of that game. I think it'll be good for everyone, staff as well, to kind of get away and have that week to recharge mentally and physically. You know, I'm sure they'll have been glued to the TV screens when Illiman was playing and when England have been playing, everything like that as well. Like you said, back to business and back to the only show in town this weekend. And I, for one, cannot wait to watch a game at Bramall Lane again. It's been a long month.
You mentioned him there. There's obviously quite a lot of injury issues that need to be ironed out, and there are players there in various stages of recovery. As you mentioned, well, we'll start off with McBurney. He was due to go in for a hernia operation anyway, and then unfortunately also, I think it was in the last game, or certainly the one before the last, I think possibly, he picked up a foot injury or an ankle injury, I think it was. So is his recovery going to be a little bit longer than they suspected? I presume that other injury probably complicated matters.
Yeah, sorry, it froze there for a little second. I wonder if there's anything else. The ankle injury will have complicated things a little bit. For what we can gather, he's been back at Shirecliffe by the looks of things, lightly jogging around and sort of testing that out. But from what Paul Heckenbottom said to us before the break, the hernia would not have been a massive issue for him in terms of recovery time. I think sportsman's hernias, by all accounts, I mean, I'm no sportsman. This is what Paul's saying, so I'm repeating that. Are not quite like everyday hernias, if that makes sense. You know, the recovery times are different, the sort of symptoms are different, the treatment's different. So everyone at United was kind of thinking that he would be back fit for this restart until that sort of complication of the ankle injury. So it'll be interesting to see whether they sort of give him, because I don't think he'll be risked. I think that's fair to say. I don't think with the form that he's in, you know, if it's a case of giving him one or two games off versus risking him and missing him for 3, 4, 5, 6, then I think it's not really a gamble at this stage that's worth taking. Despite the form that he's been in, that's just my personal point of view. That's what I'd do if I was in charge. It's interesting to see whether Paul would agree with that or not. But yeah, they'll obviously want him back as soon as possible with the form he's in. That's you know, stating the obvious, isn't it? Him and Illiman were creating forming a really good partnership, have been forming a really good partnership between them. I think Ollie said before the break, you know, that when we're both at it, I don't think there's any two better players or a better partnership up front in the division. And I've not seen one yet so far. The way they sort of dovetail and, you know, complement each other's strengths. You know, Ollie says, you know, sometimes I give him the ball and he makes me look good just because he can do what he can do with the football. So they'll be looking forward to getting him back. But like I say, I think the old ankle situation may have complicated things a little bit. So now I've said that, fully expecting to start, you know, when the team news comes out 2 p.m. Saturday, expect the big number nine to be in there. Now I've said that.
Just to let everybody know, Paul Heckenbottom is talking to us later on today. So we don't have an absolute update on Illiman and Jai. We understand he is back in the UK. There's no reason. It's an odd one, this, isn't it? Because people, I think some people automatically assumed that he was going to, like, he was going to need a rest or something. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But presuming that everything's that he's fit, and I mean, I can't imagine it would have been too much of a hardship for him flying back from Qatar to Sheffield, regardless of the route that he took. There's no reason really why he shouldn't be playing on Saturday, is there?
Interesting on this. I've seen sort of two real schools of thought on it, you know, like looking on, speaking to, you know, fans on social media, that kind of thing. Obviously, this is all complicated by the fact that he seemed to be limping after that England game. There's a, you know, we did a piece on this where he looked to be limping, then broke into a very, very light jog as he jogged over to his teammates after that game, looking a bit ginger. So there's a, obviously, we'll find out from Paul this afternoon, hopefully, definitively. But they look like a little bit of an injury concern there for Illiman. But all that considered, there seem to be two sort of distinct sort of opinions on this. One is, as you say, he's a professional footballer. You know, if he, the basic way that I've seen it put is, if this break wouldn't have happened, he'd have played 3-4 games in this period, 90 minutes probably.
That's what I was going to say. He's probably played fewer games out there than he would have done had everything just carried on as normal.
Yeah. So the workload, is the workload any bigger than it would have been in England? No. Is the workload different? I mean, playing in the heat of Qatar versus, you know, 6-7 degrees in Sheffield in November and early December is different. Does that affect the body? I'm no sports scientist. I don't know how that affects. You know, is there a risk of injury if he goes from playing in Doha to playing in Sheffield, you know, when there's a 25 degree heat difference? I don't know. I'm no, again, I'm no expert in that sort of, you know, how that will affect his body. Does it put him more at risk of, you know, of injury, of pulling a hamstring or something? Again, I've no idea, but this is all things that United's scientists and sports, you know, gurus will be looking at, I'm sure, before the weekend. You know, does he have to mentally reset after the World Cup? I don't know so much about that. You know, Illerman, I'm sure if you ask Illerman, I'm sure he'll be desperate to play. I'm sure he'll just want to carry on, you know, pick up where he left off, really, if United scoring all those goals and playing so well. But yeah, there seems to be like two distinct school of thoughts between, you know, the flight back, he'll have been in first class in luxury, won't he? I know it's a slightly different one going back to Senegal then flying to England, but you know, he'll have probably slept all the way on a luxury plane, so it's hard to feel too sorry for him on that point of view. He's not exactly slumming it in, you know, economy on Ryanair, is he? You know, all the way from Qatar. So I'm sure that won't have been too much of hardship for him. And like I say, if he'd have been here, he'd have been training every day. He'd have been playing, you know, twice a week, probably at least for this period. Whereas, you know, as much as he did play for Senegal, the workload, I imagine, as well, in training and stuff will not be as demanding as it would have been in England. So perhaps he's coming back a little bit undercooked, if anything. So that might be something they have to manage him for. You know, you don't want to throw him straight in for 90 minutes if he's not quite up to the level. You know, these are all things that, you know, are obviously out of our hands and we're just all speculating. But he'll be assessed when he comes back, I'm sure. Illerman's state of mind will be taken into it as well. You know, I'm sure he will play a big part in the decision. You know, that's something Paul and his coaching staff do quite well. You know, when his injuries, they involve the player in the sort of how they want to go about things. And I think that makes a big difference, because ultimately it's their career, it's their bodies. No one knows it better than Illerman. So I'm sure he'll have a big say in whether he is ready or not, if that's the right word. But yeah, it'll be a decision to be taken, I guess, between now and kickoff, if it's not been taken already. So I don't know. Would you play him?
Yeah, I mean, excuse me, it's not as if they'll have been flogging him out there, and he didn't play. You know, he played the equivalent of probably a game and a half or something like that.
Yeah.
And from, I was going to say from experience, but from speaking to people who have been on
not many World Cups,
yeah, speaking to people who have, you know, speaking to footballers and stuff like that who've been at tournaments and people who have been on international duty, you know, there's no intense fitness work goes in whenever you're at those kinds of things. Everything is tactical and dealing with shape and set pieces and all those kinds of things. So it's not as if, you know, the Senegal manager didn't have the boys running on the streets of Doha for, you know, doing 20Ks every day. Like, so, you know, he shouldn't be any worse off, I think, fitness-wise than he would have been. You know, if the World Cup hadn't taken place and things had to run as normal, and as you say, he would have played probably more games than he had done, and he'd have been training every day, and you would have no issue with throwing him into this. So, yeah, I would play him, particularly with the possibility that McBurney's not going to be fit. I think it would be quite a disruption for, you know, those two who have been in such good form, for both of them to be missing for this match.
Just such a Sheffield United thing at the minute, isn't it? To talk about Illerman at the World Cup and then there's an injury concern at the end of it. I think at the back of everyone's mind, this was always going to happen. I think we're always going to be talking about, oh, I hope he comes back in one piece. You know, like, it's just typical of the times.
Speaking of injuries, positivity around social media, the club's social media this week, with pictures of, I've certainly seen Sander and I've seen Max Lowe. Possibly Jaden Bogle, I think, as well. We don't have an update. We'll probably get an update from Paul a bit later on where they stand. But I don't think we'll see any of them this week, certainly. But you're probably looking just a matter of a few weeks away for certainly two of those three, I would have thought.
Yeah, you'd imagine so. I think the last update we had was that Max was further ahead than Jaden. I think that's right. I'm stretching the old memory there, but I think that's what what Paul told us. The thing is, and I completely appreciate why he does this, but you're kind of learning to take things with a pinch of salt with injuries and the updates. I completely understand it. It's not a criticism of him. You know, why would you say, you know, go back to the game before Cardiff, you know, Ollie McBurney's wheeled out for the press. He talks about, oh yeah, I'm hoping to be fit for the weekend. Talks about the reception he's going to get at Cardiff as an old Swansea player. You know, oh, I'm looking forward to it. You know, they're going to give me some stick, but I don't mind that. And then the night before the game, when his teammates are in the hotel in Cardiff, he's at the boxing at Sheffield Arena, and he doesn't play because he's injured. So there's all those sort of little ploys going on. And as I said, I get that, you know, Paul's not going to come out now and tell Huddersfield that, you know, Ollie's out, Sander's out, Illerman's out, you know, Max Lowe might come back. You know, there's no benefit to it, is there, almost? But yeah, the last update that we kind of had was that Max was ahead of Jaden. I think that's right. You know, Jaden was a strange one, wasn't he? So long out, came back for a couple of games in succession. Because of all the other injuries, had to play two games back to back, I think it was. I think he came off the bench one, didn't he, and started the next one soon afterwards. And then we've not seen him since because of the strange sort of cleaning up of all that metal that's holding his knee together. It was a really strange sort of injury, but that's obviously behind him now. He's back on the grass, as Paul says. And that'll be a good one as well. You know, that competition down the right, you know, having George Baldock and Jaden Bogle competing for a spot, you know, it's never a bad. Same with on the left, you know, Max pushing Ender Stevens, you know, when Reece Norrington Davies comes back, who's someone we'll talk about with Paul today. You know, there's reports that he's had to go for surgery on his hamstring, which will keep him out until well into the new year. So that's a real shame for him on the back of missing the World Cup. But having those competing for that was a big. So many people asking us, why is there so many issues? You know, are they being flogged to death in training? Is it because of the training ground or whatever? And, you know, the training pitch may have played a part. But for me, it was just because injuries just play into injuries. It all feeds into itself, doesn't it? You know, Ender being out at the start of the season, you know, having no left-sided defenders at all means Reece has to play possibly through knocks and strains, and then he breaks down, and Max has to do the same. And then Kieran Clark comes, Jack Robinson comes back not fully fit. At Cardiff last time out, and then he goes down with a hamstring injury. You know, you're playing players at 60, 70, 80% fitness, and then that's going to take its toll, isn't it? So it all just feeds into itself. Hopefully this month-long break will have kind of reset the cycle a little bit and, you know, given them a chance to sort of, you know, hopefully break the habit, really, and break that bad luck of having injuries after injuries after injuries. You know, it's not going to happen. They're part of the game, you know. This new training pitch and the month-long absence, is not going to mean that there's no more injuries this season. That's not how football works. It's just hopefully stops that kind of continuous cycle of players playing half fit or three quarters fit, breaking down. Someone else who's three quarters fit comes in, then breaks down. You know, getting players to, you know, 80, 90% fitness, because, you know, footballers, as we said from experience, don't play 100% fit. That's not a thing. Nobody's ever 100%. But you want them as close to that as possible, and I think that'll be a big that'll be a big test for this period to see how many people they can get to that peak fitness. So I've completely forgot what your question was at the start. I've gone on a bit of a tangent there, but yeah, we think Jaden is a little bit behind Max and Sander. I could have completely got that wrong from my memory, but yeah, I would imagine we'll see them all probably in the next few games, I would imagine, if I stick my neck out there.
You mentioned the training pitch there. You'll hopefully get a bit of a closer look today when you go up to the press conference. What exactly have they done? Have they just worked on the actual pitch itself and relayed it and all those things?
No, the issue from the pitch before was that it was quite substantially sloped at one end. So when there was any rain or whatever, it all sort of, you can imagine what happens, you know, it all kind of just goes wrong from there. So the pitch was not only just relayed, the whole sort of ground underneath it was levelled out, which will make a big difference, apparently, according to Paul Heckingbottom and the people who are in the know. That'll make a big difference in terms of when it rains, you know, it won't all just bog. You know, if anyone's got a sloping garden, you can see what it probably does to when it rains heavily. So all that's been sorted out underneath it as well. And then a Desso pitch, sort of identical to the one at Bramall Lane, fitted. So again, no expert on grass as such, but it's a sort of synthetic knitted together real grass and fake grass sort of pitch, and the Bramall Lane one, I think we've played on there, haven't we? It's a nice surface to play on. It's a lot different to grass. It looks the same, but it's quite different to play on. Yeah. Again, I'm no veteran of football, but playing on grass and playing on that is a very different thing. And that'll make a difference, I think. It just makes it replicates the sort of surroundings at Bramall Lane a little bit and makes it a little bit, similar between the two. So you're not going from a kind of boggy, muddy bog of a pitch on a training ground to then playing on a soft, professional ground at grass at Bramall Lane. So that'll make a difference according to those who know it. Substantial outlay as well, £2 million is not cheap, So it must have, Paul Heckingbottom clearly thinks that this is worth essentially sacrificing £2 million out of his budget for, if it was just a vanity project or whatever, they wouldn't do it. He clearly thinks this is really important. And you can kind of see the thinking behind it. If you're picking up soft tissue injuries like they were last season at a ridiculous rate, if you're going from training on those sort of pitches to playing on different ones, it's going to make a difference on the body, isn't it? So I know people playing Sunday League goes, we do that every weekend and stuff, but it's a different world, isn't it? Same when talking about Illiman, when people are saying, we work 80-hour weeks or whatever, and appreciate that, but it's a different world, isn't it? You can't really sort of compare the two things. So yeah, it'll be interesting. From what I've seen so far of it, looks really nice, looks really, well done, which you'd imagine for that sort of outlay. But then the proof of the pudding will be in the eating, won't it? If it does magically overnight wipe out all the injury issues, then job done. But I'm sure it won't. Football's not like that. It's all about those marginal gains, isn't it? If this helps them,
it'll lift morale. As you said, marginal gains. It'll give the players. What it does actually do is, I'm not saying that they have done this, but if you speak to managers or former managers, if you give any footballer an excuse, he'll use it. And if the training facilities aren't up to scratch, then a lot of people will point to that as being a reason why maybe their form isn't as good. But it should just give everybody a lift. We know that some of the senior players had complained. They didn't complain to us, but they certainly, reading between the lines, expressed their annoyance at the facilities over the past few years, particularly given that they'd had a 2-year stint in the Premier League and there wasn't a great deal to show for that, from that perspective at least. So it should give everybody in the camp a lift, I would have thought, as much as anything else.
Yeah.
Well. I'm just getting loads of messages now. We'll just have a quick chat. It's difficult to actually preview this match, given that there's such a big gap, and we're really in the unknown, really, because nobody can tell what shape they're going to be in, in terms of their fitness levels. This is a real kind of unknown territory for everybody, really. I guess that's the good point, apart from Sunderland and Millwall, who played last week, in which I had no idea was happening, I must admit. But yeah, everybody's in the same boat, really, and it's just difficult to kind of gauge what way things are going to go. I think we're both freezing there.
We're back. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking this earlier. It's a really strange sort of game to call, isn't it? This is, as I said before, it's not like a pre-season. This is almost the part that is like a pre-season, first game of the season, where no one, like you said, knows what's really going to happen. No one knows how they're going to look, how they're going to turn up, what kind of shape they're going to be in after such a long spell out. I've seen a few people, social media and everything, and speaking to fans again, who were saying, second versus bottom, it should be an absolute banker, shouldn't it? But I think this sort of, the timing of it sort of makes a little bit of a difference for me. You know, it adds an extra kind of layer of complexity to it, because as I said before, you know, if they'd have played this game 5 weeks ago, I think it'd have been a hell of a lot more straightforward. I'm not saying United would have definitely won, but you would imagine that I'd have certainly felt a lot more confident about it, put it that way. But after this month-long break, you know, I think Huddersfield have gone away to quite a swanky-looking warm-weather training camp, which United obviously didn't do. So we'll see what sort of impact that has on their performances. But it's just a chance for the manager, isn't it? Quite a new manager to get amongst his players for such a long period of time and kind of drill his sort of methods into them, which ordinarily he may not have really got, you know, in the Championship. Time on the training ground is at a premium sometimes, isn't it, when you're just rolling from game to game. So this might have given him a chance to sort of get drilled into his players what he wants from them and, you know, kind of organise them into what he wants. And it just, we've seen before with United, you know, this season especially, the last international break, you know, before that and then after that, it was like two different worlds, wasn't it? I don't think the performances were drastically different, but the results were remarkably different, weren't they, in terms of before the break, they looked capable of winning any game that would beat anyone in this division, I think, with the way they were kind of playing with that swagger and confidence. And after that, you know, I don't think the levels dipped that much, but they dipped enough that they looked suddenly very beatable, didn't they? You know, QPR beat them and a few other teams sort of punched holes in that armoury that they'd sort of developed. So that momentum was a big thing for United, and they lost that and didn't look quite the same after the break, and they've just recovered that. And then we have another break kind of foisted upon us. So it's just sort of starting again, isn't it, I suppose, and just forgetting most of what's gone before. Take the sort of confidence that you established, but start again, really, and don't, you know, expect to just, you know. I think there has to be a lot of patience in this, I think. You know, if they do start slowly or whatever, I think there has to be a lot of patience in the ground, because, you know, it might be second against 24th, but there's a lot of sort of different factors at play as well. You know, the fact that they are starting again after a month off, you know, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'd be surprised if they kind of started with the same, you know, vigour and, you know, swagger that they kind of left off with. It's because that sort of month in between will have, you know, dented that sort of momentum. So I think there needs to be a little bit of patience from everyone really involved while they kind of feel their way back into things. But hopefully they don't take too long to do that. And they can kind of, you know, start this second half of the season, really, with what would be a big 3 points at Bramall Lane.
It kind of feels like it could go either way, where all across the division, it could be like 0-0 or 1-0 to somebody, yeah, you know, just right across, or it could go absolutely mad and nobody knows what they're doing and every match is 4-each.
Like those boxes, the Boxing Day results from 19.
Yeah, exactly.
7-3s and 8-4s and stuff,
yeah,
like
that. It could well be like that, or it could be like everybody forgets what they're doing and it just, you know, just sit back and sit on and keep it tight. So, yeah, I think it will actually be quite interesting across the Championship to see how everybody returns to it. Because, as you say, it could really kickstart some team seasons who, you know, who have been maybe struggling. And on the other hand, teams who have built up a lot of momentum, it really could damage them. So, yeah, we'll wait and see. And we will be back on Monday to pore over that. And hopefully we'll have a better idea about what's likely to be ahead over the next few weeks and what is an absolutely pivotal few weeks coming into the Christmas period. Thanks very much, Danny. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And like I say, we'll be back on Monday to look back over United's return to action at Bramall Lane against Huddersfield Town this Saturday. Cheers, Danny. Cheers, everybody.